Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our church service on this beautiful Friday evening here in North America, and a beautiful Sabbath day dawning across the world. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording, and praise God for the privilege and honor of coming back together and worshiping our God with one voice in unity and harmony with each other. For our God is definitely worthy of praise, glory, and honor from His people. So welcome, dear ones, and let us get into our song. Our opening song is titled Cover with His Life. And the lyrics can be found on our website in the Home Church section under Music and then under Hymns. So Cover with His Life. Look upon Jesus, sinless is He. Father, impute His life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with His life whiter than snow. Cover with His life whiter than snow, fullness of His life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with His life whiter than snow. Deep are the wounds transgression has made, red are the stains, my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with Thee, safe from the law that now judges me. Cover with His life whiter than snow, fullness of His life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with His life whiter than snow. Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe white as snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Gladly I wear Thy pure life alone. Cover with His life whiter than snow. Fullness of His life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with His life whiter than snow. Reconciled by His death for my sin, Jesus by His life pure and clean. Sanctified by obeying His word, glorified when returneth my Lord. Cover with His life whiter than snow, fullness of His life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his light, whiter than snow. That's the only way to obtain salvation, dear ones. To be covered with the life of Christ, to be hidden in his precious robe of righteousness. And no matter how deeply stained our past life of sin has been, through confession and forsaking of those sins, we can be justified and indeed made whiter than snow. Praise God for making possible our salvation and redemption from sin and death. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear precious Father, we thank you so very much that your kingdom has come, that your will is being done more and more, and that there's nothing that the wicked can do against thy will, but it ends up allowing your will to be accomplished. There's nothing that the devil or any of his agents can do to come against the truth or against thy people, but that all their efforts will be turned by thee into a victory for your people in spreading the truth and in uplifting your precious followers. And thank you so very much for being in control of all things, and that there's nothing that we need worry about except are we covered with the precious robe of our Savior. Father, we give you control of tonight's meeting, and we pray that thy presence will be here. Please bless us with the holy and awe-inspiring atmosphere that surrounds your throne. Come close to each one of us, and thank you so much for being here. We also plead, dear Savior, that thy presence will be here in our midst. Please dispel darkness and allow the light that shines from your lovely face to fill our hearts to overflowing. Savior, take control of our lives. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for doing anything to displease you or that has gone against the principles of the gospel. Please cleanse us, sanctify us, renew us, and allow us to be connected with thee in sweet union and companionship. And thank you for being our Lord. And dear Spirit, we pray that thy presence will be here in our midst to lead and guide us into all truth, to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Please continue to work within us an entire transformation, but especially reveal to us where we are deviating from the path of righteousness. And please help us not to kick against the prickings on our heart, but instead to give in to follow your still small voice and indeed to be changed. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst. Help us to understand and to see the precious gems of truth from the history and the inspired lessons that we will be going over tonight. And thank you so much for allowing us to meet together here in freedom without oppression. And I pray that you will shut Satan and his agents out from our midst and from our hearts, that we might indeed receive the blessing that you want so much to bestow upon your sons and daughters. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And let us continue in our study book of Patriarchs and Prophets. This is chapter 24, entitled The Passover. We left off last time describing that the Paschal lamb, or the Passover lamb, was to be innocent, without blemish. Its blood was to be shed, placed upon the doorposts and the upward lintel. And we also found that the lamb was to be eaten with bitter herbs. And the bitter herbs were symbolic of their bondage in Egypt. But it's also symbolic of the cleansing that can be derived from these particular herbs. And a lot of time, I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of time the cleansing herbs are bitter to the taste. And one of the bitterest I've tasted is golden seal. But golden seal is one of the most healing of herbs. Yeah, wormwood is another bitter one. Oh, yes, that is bitter. So, not always, but a lot of times, the bitter herbs are the ones that bring healing to the body. So it's symbolic, I guess, of sin bringing disease and death and decay and everything else into this world. And if we end up becoming sick, perhaps through no fault of our own, or perhaps because we've broken one or more of the eight laws of health, if we become sick, one way to get over that sickness, to help the body heal itself, is through bitter herbs. And that bitterness will help us in the future to want to maintain health so that we don't have to take that particular type of remedy. So these bitter herbs pointed to the bondage that the children of Israel were in. We also went over the unleavened bread and what that signified. And we also left off last time with Paul taking the literal Passover service and putting it into a spiritual context. He goes, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So then, the feast that we're to keep today is not a literal Passover feast, but it is a feast celebrating Christ as our Passover lamb, and the unleavened bread to be sincerity and truth. So we're to purge out from us the old leaven, which is malice and wickedness, and instead subsist on the unleavened bread, the sinless bread, the righteous bread, which is sincerity and truth, or in other words, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at the paragraph that begins, a little above two-thirds of the way down on page 278. Before obtaining freedom, the bondmen must show their faith in the great deliverance about to be accomplished. The token of blood must be placed upon their houses, and they must separate themselves and their families from the Egyptians and gather within their own dwellings. Had the Israelites disregarded in any particular the directions given them, had they neglected to separate their children from the Egyptians, had they slain the lamb but failed to strike the doorposts with blood, or had any gone out of their houses, they would not have been secure. So then the directions that God gave to the children of Israel were not something that they could pick and choose and expect to continue to have God's protection and favor. But they had to obey every command from God in order to receive God's protection from being destroyed along with the heathen, which were the Egyptians. So then it's the same today. God has given us 10 commandments. And if we should neglect to keep even one of those commandments, then we cannot expect God to protect us from destruction because we haven't complied with all his requirements. It was the same with the Egyptian or with the Israelites. So if they kept 90% of what they were supposed to do on this particular Passover, but neglected 10%, or if they did 99% and left off 1%, they would not have been protected. And dear ones, neither will we. If there is a command of God that we're aware of, and we choose not to obey it, then we cannot complain if we lose our salvation because we willfully chose not to obey. If God is our Savior, which He is, then He shows us how we can be saved. And if we choose not to follow in the way of salvation, then we cannot be justified in blaming God for our destruction, because we ourselves are to blame. So if the Israelites had disregarded in any particular the directions given them, they would not have been secure. Continuing. They might have honestly believed that they had done all that was necessary, but their sincerity would not have saved them. So then it doesn't matter how sincere you are. What matters is, have you complied with all the conditions for salvation? Have you kept all of God's requirements? Have you been obedient to your Savior? If so, then you have salvation. But if not, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how loud you profess. It doesn't matter what name you go by. None of these things can save you from not obeying God's will. Continuing. All who failed to heed the Lord's directions would lose their firstborn by the hand of the destroyer. Now it's interesting here. Let's take, for example, an infant or even a child up to 4 or 5 years old. They do not have the intellectual ability to slay the lamb, to catch its blood, to take a hyssop branch and dip it in the blood and spread it around the doorposts. So then they have to rely on their parents, especially the father as the priest of the household, to do that for them. And if the priest or the father did not follow the directions, then he risks the life of an innocent child, his own child. So then this shows us that if we ourselves do not follow what we know to be truth, then someone that looks up to us and is depending upon us to lead them and to guide them correctly may be destroyed by our neglect. Isn't that a solemn thought? Their sincerity would not save them. Any thoughts, any comments, dear ones?
Hello, everyone. You were just reading, bro. They might have honestly believed that they had done all that was necessary, but their sincerity would not have saved them. Sister Alicia and I were just talking about that and that particular quote. And as far as I could understand, that was the fact of the matter was it was made clear what was required of them, that they could not misunderstand. It was plainly. You couldn't miss it. You understood exactly what was required, and that's why all the sincerity in the world wouldn't cover you if you decided to be disobedient in some area. That's how I've understood it. But Sister Lucy's quite a word lady, and we had different discussion.
Well, can anyone hear me? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Reminds me of a Bible story. I'm not gonna say long. It's a really short Bible story. There was a Bible story when the Ark of the Covenant was being moved. And when it was being moved, David was playing all kinds of music and everything. And when they were playing music because David was rejoicing, you know, he was rejoicing because there was going to be a place to put the ark. There was a man. Now, the thing is that, here's the thing. Before I talk about this man, I have to mention one thing. There was a man. Okay, before I talk about this man, sorry. Okay. The thing is that the Ark of God was very sacred, and no one was allowed to touch it. No one who is not of the Levites. Only those who work in the sanctuary who were of the tribe of Levites were allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. So they were moving it, and there was music playing and all this stuff, and people rejoicing and happy and all of these things, rather than being solemn. And with all of this going on, the Ark of the Covenant was, as it was being moved, it looked like it was about to slide off and it was going to fall. And so this man, as Brother Bob said, Uzziah was his name, he touched it. And when he touched it, he died instantly. Now, the reason for this is because the Lord said no one was supposed to touch it. There was a reason why. And a lot of times when God says to do something, people always undermine him and thinking, oh, it's no big deal. All of us, it won't hurt. But in this case, Uzziah didn't have a second chance. He died instantly because he did not listen to what thus said the Lord. The reason why only the Levites were allowed to touch the altar, you know, or, I mean, not altar. Oh, Lord, help me. Do forgive me, the ark, yeah. had a long day at work and my words are all mixed up. I'm sorry. The Ark of the Covenant, right? The reason why is because they were allowed to do it is because the life of the Levites, they had to be holy and consecrated to work in the sanctuary constantly. They have to be careful what they do, what they say, how they act, meditate on the Word of God to maintain that holiness. Those who were just, you know, not knowing all the heartache that has to go with, well, it's not really heartache, it's just, I should use better choice of words, those who don't understand the work that goes into being consecrated and holiness unto the Lord. They just live, you know, their lives, but it's not as much as required of them as that was required of the Levites at that time. And so what happened, because that one commandment was broken, that one commandment of the Lord, a man died. Even if his intentions were to try to keep the ark from falling, his sins automatically came up before the Lord, and he was found guilty of that. This is when everyone saw that he died. Afterwards, it was a very solemn movement of the ark from one place to the other. It became very solemn because in their happiness and celebration and everything, they forgot what is supposed to be holy is supposed to be meant to be holy. And what is supposed to be sacred is supposed to be meant to be sacred. And never between shall the twine meet. So that's what this story reminded me of. Okay, love you guys.
Well, before we continue, I just have one small little comment. I already learned about the Passover when I was doing my studies in the cross and its shadow book. Well, what I want to say is, well, we already know what happened at the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was part of the Passover. But when Elder Rothhouse said that leaven was the type of malice and wickedness, it reminded me what I was reading in there. The descendant said, leaven is a type of malice and wickedness, but unleavened bread represents sincerity and truth, and that is true. And he whose past sin are hidden, who realizes that it is what it is to have the condemnation of his old life, which is that he enters into a new life and should not return to his life of sin, but live in all sincerity and truth. So that is true. All this was symbolized by the same day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread following the Passover. The leaven in the bread that we usually eat today, like we used to eat normally, like at lunch or use the sandwich or stuff. That's just normal bread. It just baked with malice, but that's what has to eat in to make the body still going physically. But spiritually, the unleavened bread represents sincerity and truth. It's not baked like the same bread that we eat every single day, and hey, for that matter. Well, almost automatic. There'll be some days when you don't eat any bread. Anyway,
Turkey is much different from the bread that we eat most of the time. It's not the same way like the bread is usually baked. After all, it's pretty flat at like a plate, but because it has no like baking soda or nothing that it makes it be able to rise. But that's what gives the normal bread a little fluffy and make it rise. And if we, the sinners that I look today are in the bad bread, but usually normal, if they repent and have the unleavened bread, with, in other words, learn the gospel, they'll be sincerity and truth, and won't have any malice or wickedness in them any longer. Their old life will be buried, and their new life will begin, and that's all about shift.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And also, thank you, Sister Keisha, for the excellent analogy with Uzzah and the ark. He sincerely reached out to steady the ark so that it wouldn't fall off the cart. And he died because of it. So all his sincerity could not protect him from the consequences of disobeying God. And it's the same with us. Now, this also shows us that God requires his people to be knowledgeable and then careful in how they obey. So then haphazard obedience is not accepted of God. And if we have access to God's word and yet we don't take the time to study it, then that is called willful ignorance. And God does not accept willful ignorance in his service. I mean, God took the time, the pains, and carefulness to preserve the Bible, even though the devil tried his best to destroy it, God protected it. And he put all that time and effort and carefulness in making sure that the Bible would be available to his people so that they wouldn't have to depend upon what the priest told them or what their pastors told them or what their neighbors or their family members told them was the way to worship God. But they could read it for themselves. So if we have access to God's word and yet we don't take the time to study it, then it doesn't matter how sincere we are in acknowledging God as our God and Savior. If we don't obey, then we're not going to be saved. So they might have honestly believed that they had done all that was necessary, but their sincerity would not save them because God made it very plain what they were to do, how they were to do it. And if they failed to follow every particular, then someone was going to lose their lives. Continuing. By obedience, the people were to give evidence of their faith. So if you have faith that Jesus is your Savior, but yet you do not obey what Christ tells you to do in his word, then all your faith accounts for nothing. So it is through obedience that the people were to give evidence of their faith in God. Continuing. So all who hope to be saved by the merits of the blood of Christ should realize that they themselves have something to do in securing their salvation. While it is Christ only that can redeem us from the penalty of transgression, we are to turn from sin to obedience. Man is to be saved by faith, not by works. Yet his faith must be shown by his works. God has given his Son to die as a propitiation for sin. He has manifested the light of truth, the way of life. He has given facilities, ordinances, and privileges. And now man must cooperate with these saving agencies. He must appreciate and use the helps that God has provided. Believe and obey all the divine requirements. So faith without works is dead. Works without faith is also dead. But faith and works combined will allow us to have salvation. And that's not talking about faith in our abilities to keep God's commandments, but faith in Jesus Christ, who gives us the grace and the strength to keep God's commandments. Continuing. As Moses rehearsed to Israel the provisions of God for their deliverance, the people bowed the head and worshipped. The glad hope of freedom, the awful knowledge of the impending judgment upon their oppressors, the cares and labors incident to their speedy departure, all were for the time swallowed up in gratitude for their gracious deliverer. Many of the Egyptians had been led to acknowledge the God of the Hebrews as the only true God, and these now begged to be permitted to find shelter in the homes of Israel when the destroying angel should pass through the land. So, these 9 plagues upon Egypt, clearly showing that the gods of Egypt, including Pharaoh himself, were powerless to prevent the plagues from occurring. Now in mercy, we're given opportunity to acknowledge their faith, although small, their faith in the God of the Hebrews. And they asked to find shelter in the homes of the Israelites when the destroying angel should pass through the land. Continuing. They were gladly welcomed. Does that sound like a Pharisaical spirit? Not at all. So here were non-Israelites that manifested faith in God to the point that they wanted to obey. They wanted to be among the followers of the God of the Hebrews so that they could be protected. And they were gladly welcomed. Now, speed forward 1,500 years later, and it was just the opposite type of spirit. God, thank you so much that I'm not like that Samaritan over there. We can't eat with them. We can't fellowship with them. We can't buy from them. Just completely different. But here in the beginning, they were gladly welcomed into the homes of the Israelites, continuing, and they pledged themselves henceforth to serve the God of Jacob and to go forth from Egypt with his people. So you can see that these plagues that God brought upon Egypt were not just for the purpose of delivering the Israelites from bondage, but they were also for the purpose of opening the eyes of the Egyptians and giving them the precious chance to turn away from their false religion and from those false gods in order to join and to serve the God of Jacob. And they were gladly welcomed in to the Israelite company. Dear ones, we should be doing the same. Those that are not of our faith were to gladly welcome them in to worship with us, so that they can have the precious chance and the privilege to worship the God of Jacob. Continuing. The Israelites obeyed the directions that God had given them. Swiftly and secretly they made their preparations for departure. Their families were gathered, the paschal lamb slain, the flesh roasted with fire, the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs prepared. The father and priest of the household sprinkled the blood upon the doorpost and joined his family within the dwelling. In haste and silence, the paschal lamb was eaten. In awe, the people prayed and watched. The heart of the eldest born, from the strong man down to the little child, throbbing with indefinable dread. Fathers and mothers clasped in their arms their loved firstborn as they thought of the fearful stroke that was to fall that night. But no dwelling of Israel was visited by the death-dealing angel. The sign of blood, the sign of a Savior's protection, was on their doors, and the destroyer entered not. So when the Israelites were eating the roasted lamb with the bitter herbs, they weren't dancing around and having a big party. They were in awe. They recognized that this was the only thing that was going to protect their beloved from destruction. And they also recognized that those who did not comply with the conditions and did not have their homes covered with blood, at least on the door, were going to be lost. So it was not a time to celebrate. It was a time for solemnness and reflection. Had they complied with all the requirements? If they had, then they rested their faith in God. Dear ones, we're just before the end. How should we be spending these last few hours before the destroying angel again visits the land? Are we to be celebrating? Are we to be dancing around? Or are we to be in awe and our eyes focused upon what our high priest is doing in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, making an atonement, cleansing from sin. So where's our attention? Where's our faith? The sign of blood, the sign of a Savior's protection was on their doors, and they were not destroyed. Our precious Savior's blood must be on the doors of our hearts, or we will be destroyed. That's what we should be focused on. Are we ready for the destroying angel to come? Have we complied with all the requirements of God to be protected? Have we been careless? Is our walk with Christ haphazard? Or do we know that we are complying with God's specified will? If we are, then we manifest faith that Christ will indeed protect us and keep us. But we must know. Amen. We must make our calling and election sure. We must examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. Not trusting what someone else has told us what the faith is. Not trusting that we may be in the faith. But we must know. That means we must take the time to read what it is to be in the faith. And then we must examine our lives by what we read. So that we know. If not, all our sincerity is not going to protect us from disobeying a single command. Are you ready? Have you allowed the blood of Christ to be placed upon your heart to cleanse you from all sin? That's what we must know. Amen. There will be no second chances. Once probation closes, it's closed. You can't get that time back. Today, not tomorrow, today is the day of our salvation. So all those who complied with the conditions rested their faith in the blood of the Lamb. And those who didn't have the blood of the Lamb were not protected. Continuing. At midnight, there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. All the firstborn in the land, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle had been smitten by the destroyer. So even the innocent animals lost their lives along with the wicked, along with those who did not comply with God's requirements. They were all smitten by the destroyer. Continuing. Throughout the vast realm of Egypt, the pride of every household had been laid low. The shrieks and wails of the mourners filled the air. King and courtiers, with blanched faces and trembling lips, stood aghast at the overmastering horror. Pharaoh remembered how he had once exclaimed, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Jehovah, neither will I let Israel go." Now, his heaven-daring pride humbled in the dust, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said." So, after the destroying angel had come, and it was too late to undo it, Pharaoh was willing to obey. But it was too late. Satan followed the same path. After his warfare with heaven and his determination to see it to the end, he was cast out. The consequences was he lost heaven. Then he was willing to obey. It was too late. Continuing, Pharaoh said, "And be gone, and bless me also." Could Moses bless him? No. To do so would be to bless his rebellion, to bless his stubbornness and pride. So Moses could not bless Pharaoh in his rebellious disobedience. And dear ones, we can't do the same. If we know someone to be living in sin and we say, "God bless you," then we are asking God to bless their disobedience. In other words, we're giving approval to their disobedience. And that means we become a partaker of their sins. So those who choose to live in sin, we cannot say, "God bless you," or we become a partaker of their sins. We can say, "I hope that God will lead and guide you into all truth," or "May God bless you with his spirit and truth," or "May God open your eyes to see the truth." But we cannot ask or pronounce a blessing upon them, because that would be giving our approval to their disobedience. Continuing. the royal counselors also and the people entreated the Israelites to depart out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. So now all of the people of Egypt wanted the Israelites gone. So even though they didn't choose to manifest faith in God, yet they recognized that God was protecting and working for his people. And if they continued to mistreat his people, then they would all be dead men. So, dear ones, if we are following God, complying with his conditions, manifesting faith in the blood of our Savior and in his love for us, then people will take note that God is working for us and that he is working against all our enemies. And people will notice, they will recognize this, even though they choose not to serve God. So then we have nothing to fear from enemies or from the wicked. We have nothing to fear at all, because if God is for us, what can the wicked do against us? They can cast out our name as evil, but they did the same to our Lord. And we're not anywhere close to being on the same level as our Lord. So if they treated him that bad, then they're going to treat us just as bad or even worse. Amen. What an honor it is to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. What it is to be a partaker of our Lord's sufferings. And we're indeed in good company if our name is cast out as evil. Count it all joy. Are there any thoughts, any questions, comments, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead. Now, this reminds me of a hymn. I will follow thee, my Savior. And whoever would like to take a verse, please feel free. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as the foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed forsake thee. By thy grace, I'll follow thee.
Though I meet with tribulations, sorely tempted though I be, I remember thou wast tempted, and rejoice to follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though the too great and fierce affliction for forsake that though I be, though was destitute, afflicted, and I only follow thee, I will follow thee, my Savior, though this shed thy blood for me, and though all man should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though through Jordan's rolling billows, cold and deep, thou leadest me. Thou hast crossed the waves before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Yeah, I like to hear the scripture song. It is called Pass Over You. It's called a Passover, and while you say, while they're in Egypt land, there came a plague. But God was there again, that plague passed over them, and they were saved by simple faith. On that judgment day when all shall stand before the Lord of God, please understand, if the blood of Jesus Christ is covering your life, heaven will be your home, you see. I will pass over you, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I will pass over you, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's called a Passover, and while you say, while they're in Egypt land, there came a plague. But God was there again, that plague passed over them, and they were saved by simple faith. On that judgment day when all shall stand before the Lord God, please understand, if the blood of Jesus Christ is covering your life, heaven will be your home, you see. I will pass over you, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I will pass over you, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I will pass over you, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, I will pass over you. over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will.
Hi, everyone. Can everyone hear me? Okay, I'm going to attempt to sing this song, okay? So just give me just a minute, please. Okay, here we go. Well, I have to put the song down just a little bit. There we go. Okay. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come, the danger is great. Sleep not as do others, be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restore, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come. We'll watch unto prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all others of eve in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day. As spring shows that summer is not far away. Yes, this is our hope, 'tis built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. Of promises all, it stands as the sun. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting, hold fast till I come. Sorry, I hope that that didn't hurt anybody's ears. So, God bless everyone.
Dear Elder Robert, I don't know if you have "It Is Well With My Soul" in the list, but I would like to share the hymn. It's number 530 in the hymn book. Have a blessing, dear Sister Jenna. And Sister Jeanette said, blessed Sabbath, everyone. No, that's not it. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh the joy of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sign, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister, and for that beautiful song, and also Sister Michelle for the other beautiful song. And Lord willing, we can have you sing more often. There was a request put in for Onward Christian Soldiers. And those that would like to take a verse of this beautiful song, please feel free. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the truth of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the truth of Jesus going on before.
Like a mighty army moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod.
We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. May the truth of Jesus going on before.
Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and but the bride of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the church prevail. We have Christ on promise, and that cannot fail. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with our sure voices in the triumph song. Glory loud and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, saints and angels sing.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the truth of Jesus.
Amen, and thank you. I really like it when more than just one individual sings a particular hymn. It's really nice. I appreciate that. All right, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. I'm almost positive we have that one. Let me load it in.
The Lord our rock, in Him we hide. A shelter in this time of storm. Secure whatever may betide. A shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land. Cool and shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim's band. A shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night. A shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright. A shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
O rock divine of refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou a helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand, faithful guide for the pilgrim's band, a shelter in a time of storm.
Amen. Beautiful. Well, dear ones, are there any other songs, any other requests or questions, comments, anything else you'd like to share before we close? And please feel free.
Yes, I wanted to share with you a blessing that occurred a couple of weeks ago, actually. It's in regard to my brother and my sister, my real brother, and as in my biological brother and sister, who want to become the opposite sex. Well, thankfully there's a Christian out there who actually has written a number of books on this topic and has actually gone through with it, regretted it, and gone back. And we just received the books the other day. Sister Lucy's just started reading halfway through. That's pretty quick of her. And we're hoping that that will help us understand trying to reach out to these, my brother and sister, and understand their mindset. Yeah, I see this as a blessing from God, because it's not easy coming across this sort of material. Usually it's for it to for them to change, and that's about the only way it's looked at. Yeah. Goodbye to everyone who's leaving. Have a sweet sleep.
Well, thank you, dear brother, and we will we'll keep them in prayer, and Lord willing, they'll come all the way to the Lord. And also be able to give you and dear Sister Lucy the words to use to help them to see the truth clearly. Well, dear ones, I praise God that, again, we had the privilege and the honor to come and worship before our God in spirit and in truth. And looks like there's another song request, Once to Every Man and Nation. No, dear sister, I don't have that particular hymn. Is there any other words? Okay, if you know it, please feel free to sing it for us.
Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide. In the strife of truth with falsehood, for the good or evil side, since some great cause God gives new Messiah, offering each late bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever, chooses, while the coward stands aside, till the multitude make virtue of the faith they had denied.
Amen. Thank you, sister. I have heard that song, oh man, probably 30 years ago. And thank you for singing it again. Thank you so much. There's been a request for Holy Day Jehovah's Rest, the one that deals with the Pope changing the day. So that's a good one, and let me go ahead and start it out. Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest, of creation's week the best, blessed of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
In 6 days work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thousands have his plan reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know, there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appears through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thus I searched, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly, 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. And a comment in the room says, wish we all could sing together over the mic. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. But with all the different internet speeds of the various computers, it would be nearly impossible to have us all singing the same words at the same times. But that would be wonderful. Well, dear ones, let us please kneel and bow our heads for closing prayer. Our Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for making it possible for each and every person of this world to be spared from the destroying angel that will again come through the land. Thank you so much for sending the Lamb. And thank you, dear Savior, for taking our place, for paying our penalty to allow us to escape destruction and to share in your life. Savior, we plead for your blood to be poured upon each one of us, that we might indeed have all of our sins cleansed away, to be covered and removed from our record book, and that we indeed can be clothed in your righteousness and be spared from destruction. Pray that you'll be with each one of us now as we part. Let us have a wonderful Sabbath rest, whether it is tonight in sleep, to rise to the day time of the Sabbath, or whether we're into the Sabbath in the daytime now and it is drawing to a close in a few hours. Help us indeed to rest in your love and to have the extra grace and strength necessary from your blessings today to be able to make it through another week soon to come. Father, we lift up Daryl in our prayers, that you will be with him, that you will help him to come to thee and to look to thee for healing, help, and grace. And please also be with Gary and family in Texas. Please work in their lives and let them all look to thee for help and grace and strength and courage as well as wisdom and guidance. And thank you so much for being with them, for helping them, and for healing them, both physical and mental and spiritual, according to thy perfect will. Please be with all the rest of those that have asked for prayers, whether spoken or silent. And thank you so very much for hearing and answering each one according to thy perfect will. So please be with us now as we part just for a short time. And thank you so very much for the privilege of calling you our Father, to have you call us and look upon us as your sons and daughters through Christ, and also for the privilege of meeting together as one to worship thee on your Sabbath day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you soon. And dear Sister Lynn, please have your mic working next time, because we missed hearing your singing voice tonight. So keep looking up, dear ones, and examine yourselves and know that you are indeed covered with the blood of Christ.